Welcome to this deep dive. So you know how if someone sneezes on you, your physical immune system just immediately attacks the foreign invader?
Yeah, of course, your body just goes on the defensive.
Right, but what is truly fascinating is that our minds, they have an immune system too, only it attacks foreign ideas.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, and today we are looking at week 12, day one. The theme is believe as you wish, but know why you believe what you believe.
A huge topic.
It really is. And our mission today isn't just to review some reading material. It's to help you, the listener, actively map out your own cognitive immune system so you can see where it's, actually working against you.
Right, because when we talk about beliefs, we are fundamentally talking about deeply entrenched neural pathways. It's biological.
Okay, so it's not just a philosophical thing.
Not at all. When you encounter information that contradicts a core belief, say like a worldview you inherited from your family or your peers, your brain doesn't actually process it logically first.
Wait, it doesn't.
No, the amygdala registers it as a literal threat. That cognitive dissonance you feel, it isn't just some clever psychological metaphor.
So it's an actual physical reaction.
Exactly. It's a physiological alarm bell.
Yeah.
Blood flow literally shifts away from your prefrontal cortex, which is the part that handles logic, and you literally go into fight or flight over an opinion.
Wait, really? So you're saying that if I think my specific worldview is the only right one, my brain treats a counter-argument the exact same way it treats a physical predator.
Yes, exactly the same way.
That is intense. I mean, it's like our minds are running legacy software we didn't even install,
Yeah,
right?
it's a perfect analogy, yeah.
But how do we actually stop that reaction? Like, how do we realistically learn to distinguish between what is a proven fact and what is just a subjective preference we've attached our identity to?
Well, that's where the source material's three categories become a really crucial filtering mechanism. First, you have objective truth.
Right, which is quantifiable and definitively proven.
Correct. Then you have pure opinion, which is entirely subjective.
Right, like my favorite color or something.
Exactly. And finally, you have the yet-to-be-known future. So things that will eventually have a factual answer, but just don't right now.
Okay, so where does the problem start?
The neural friction happens when we blur those lines. When you treat a pure opinion as an objective truth, your brain locks it down. It builds this defensive neurological wall around it to protect your sense of stability.
And dismantling that wall is exactly what today's work is designed to do, because psychologically, you can't just attack a deeply held belief head on.
No, the defenses are way too strong.
Right, you have to sort of sneak past the guards. There's this brilliant concept in today's module about finding your muse of truth.
Oh, I love this exercise.
It's so good. It asks you to reflect on a specific time you actually did change a deeply held conviction, because getting someone to recognize their own past flexibility lowers their defenses.
Yeah, it opens them up.
Exactly, makes them more open in the present. But neurologically, what exactly is happening when we break through that confirmation bias?
Well, you're essentially forcing the creation of a new synaptic bridge. When you reflect on how and why you changed a past belief, you re-engage the prefrontal cortex.
Oh, so bringing the unconscious process of belief formation into conscious awareness.
Exactly. The goal of the second and third questions is to ask yourself, what is my actual threshold for evidence?
Right, like what exact data does it take to override my brain's default programming?
Precisely.
I love that approach because it forces a direct confrontation with our own tribalism. I mean, we often cling to a belief not because the evidence is strong, but because abandoning it means risking rejection by our group.
Oh, absolutely. Groupthink is so powerful.
Yeah, we substitute the comfort of belonging for actual truth. By pinpointing the exact moments your logic fails in favor of groupthink, you expose your own psychological blind spots.
Right. You stop being a passive victim of your own biology and start mapping the exact cognitive pathways where you choose safety over accuracy.
Which makes the mental reframing tool we look at today so vital. The directive is to treat discomfort as a signal to think deeper, not retreat.
That flips the script entirely.
It really does. Instead of that amygdala alarm meaning run away, you are actively training yourself to interpret it as dig here.
You're rewiring the stimulus. And the way the module utilizes sleep to reinforce this is incredibly smart.
Oh, the bedtime question. Yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah, it asks you, what is one belief that I value but have never really challenged? When you plant that question right before sleep, you are leveraging memory consolidation.
During REM sleep, right.
Exactly. During REM sleep, The brain strips away the emotional defense mechanisms like the ego and processes the cognitive friction of that question purely as data.
Wow, so you wake up with a more malleable perspective without ever having to consciously fight your own defenses.
It's a completely backdoor approach to your own neurology.
It's literally hacking your brain's downtime to do the heavy psychological lifting. So, for you listening, it's time to put this into practice. Grab your journal and dive into the work for day one.
Look for those moments of cognitive discomfort.
Yeah, lean into them. Do the challenging work today and be ready because tomorrow we are tackling the next module.
But as you start digging into your own mind today, consider this.
Yeah.
If you successfully identify a core belief that you only hold because it was handed down to you by someone else, whose life are you actually living?